I think where Cam's growth for us going against our defense is going to be more third down, because we do get a little bit, we're much more creative on third down in terms of the different looks and the different pressure designs and the different coverages that we'll do. You know, so for Cam, like I said, it's understanding the playbook, understanding his progression, understanding the reads, understanding what's being asked of him, and finding ways to bat 1,000 with regards to the decision making of his system.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible Live, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, training camp has started. Practice one is in the books. Robert Saleh spoke to the media before practice. John Franklin Myers, I believe, is speaking right now. Here it is on screen, yes. Cam Ward, Wandale Robinson still to speak. Jeffrey Simmons already spoke. We're going to recap practice day one, everything that stood out to us, and interact with the chat a bit. How you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing well, doing well. First Titans training camp practice of 2026. Officially in the books, as you said, John Franklin Myers speaking at the podium right now, Jeffrey Simmons a few minutes ago, Cam Ward and Wandale Robinson still to come, and we're going to live stream the Cam Ward presser, because why wouldn't we? You know, he's always got a bunch of interesting things to say. We've got news and notes from the first practice. Robert Saleh spoke at the podium before practice started, and I've got a bunch of takeaways from what he said as well. I guess we can start with injury updates, if you will, just quick hitters to get through. Calvin Ridley was battling a stomach bug. He was not an active participant at the session today. I believe he came out during one period, but he'll be back tomorrow. And Mitch Trubisky was dealing with tightness and was held out of practice. So Will Levis was the second quarterback, and Hendon Hooker was the number three. I think we'll start with Cam Ward.
The headline of practice today was Cam Ward is sharp, and Carnell Tate made a bunch of catches, including a nice touchdown catch in a red zone team period. I have Cam Ward's numbers here from practice, courtesy of Nick Suss out there keeping track of the stats. 8 for 15 with two touchdowns, only 3 of 8 in the red zone period, which is not ideal. But mentioned that both touchdowns came during the red zone period, and 2 of his incomplete passes, the 3 of 8, were throwaways. So really more like a 3 of 6. You love to see that the quarterback is sharp. Everyone out there says he was sharp. Not any more of those OTA struggles, but also not like an on fire, incredible, absolutely nuclear type of performance day either, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think 3 of 8 in the red zone is pretty nice, especially when two of the incompletions were throwaways. The Carnell Tate down was described as a catch in traffic, hands catch by Carnell Tate. I believe that was Nick Suss's notes. Again, 8 of 15 for Cam overall with 2 touchdowns. I would call it a positive start for Cam Ward at training camp. Again, I think it's somewhere in the middle. It's not one of those early OTA practices where the sky was falling and everyone felt like he was really, really struggling. It certainly wasn't one of those. But in, you know, the interest of fairness, it also wasn't a, oh, wow, you know, Cam Ward absolutely lit it up on the practice field today. But I think a positive start that he could build on. To see that connection with, you know, Carnell Tate as well.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger headline to me is like Carnell Tate. I don't know if you follow this guy. I think his name's Zane something. He has been like collecting beat reports from all across the league. Zane Danani. And he posted that he was posting the other day about how Carnell Tate was great to start OTAs, struggled as OTAs went on. Not struggled, but not as impressive towards the end of OTAs. And he actually pointed out something that Tyler said on Locked On Titans about how Carnell Tate did better against cornerback twos like Micah Robinson and struggled more against cornerback ones. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that take. Like struggled per se is maybe not like shining brightly as he was. But anyway, nice to see that Carnell Tate was out there making plays, had a that touchdown, I believe, was over Marcus Harris, had another lofted ball that he caught in traffic over two guys, and a couple of misses as well from Cam to Tate, just a little bit, maybe timing or accuracy, not quite there. But for the most part, great to see that Carnell Tate is sort of continuing the momentum that he built during OTAs and even perhaps looking a little more like early OTA Tate versus late OTA Tate.
Yeah, certainly. I thought that, you know, one of my buddies actually messaged me that quote or that was going around Twitter about Tate's struggle. Like, were Taylor and Alante Taylor Cordell flopped there for like two practices? Like, to kind of take that sample, like, we had way more Carnell Tate dominance at OTAs minicamp than we had struggles. So it just seemed silly for that to get a little carried away. As Wandale Robinson steps up to the podium to answer questions from Titans local reporters, meaning Cam Ward will be going next, going last. He's probably still out there throwing footballs, working the machines, you know, in Cam, being a perfectionist. So he's going to go last, and we're going to try our best to live stream that one while you guys are here as the numbers here continue increasing. But yes, a promising start for Carnell Tate at Wednesday's debut session, if you will. I could hit a couple other news and notes from practice, or did you want to continue?
Yeah, I had where I wanted to go next, maybe you're on the same page as me, is something that came out of Robert Saleh's presser from before practice. Again, a lot of exactly what you expect him to say type of stuff. Talked more about how difficult training camp is going to be for this team. Talked about the fact that the pads will come on Monday, but right now they're still in sort of the phase three OTA, no contact setting. But pads do come on Monday, so we didn't know exactly what day it was. Now we do. We like to hear that. But to me, the biggest thing was almost the most innocuous thing. I believe it was Paul Kaharsky who asked Robert Saleh, do you expect to have Austin Schlotman and Cordell Volson starting at center and right guard? And Saleh's response was like, mm-hmm, yep, and then moved on. And we're all like coming out of the presser like, oh my goodness, he just sort of told us who's leading this battle.
Where
are you going?
I wanted to go back and watch it because I think Kuharsky specifically asked about the practice. Like, do you expect them, like, are they getting starting today? And what was interesting, like you noted, that Saleh kind of just meekly said yes and moved on. I think I know where you're going. And then you get to the actual practice, and it wasn't the case. And more on this later, but it was Jackson Slater who started at right guard and Austin Schlotman started at center. Only one of two things can be true here, okay? Either Robert Saleh misunderstood the question being for the practice and interpreted it as, do you expect them to be your starters? And or, he just said yes and gave it away.
I think it might be even more than that, because Paul Kaharsky, like, he didn't enunciate and, like, he didn't, the way that Saleh talks about this team, like, you're confident with volume, right? Like, he wasn't loud as S-H-I-T, as Saleh said yesterday. Paul Kaharsky kind of just asked a question and, like, mentioned them. And, it, like, I think, personally, I have no way of knowing this or verifying.
We're all guessing, because it doesn't make sense how it happened.
Right. I think that Saleh just, like, didn't really hear the question at all. Not didn't hear it about today or being long-term or whatever, but just sort of heard, like, are those guys going to be out there and competing today, basically? Oh, and he was like, uh-huh, yeah. That's kind of what I think happened. I don't know. I mean, again,
I'm not willing to go there. I feel that I can safely assume that he heard the question. And to me, it's one of two things. He either misheard the question and took it as, are they your starters? And he essentially said yes, not caring to give the coach speak answer of competition, blah, blah, blah. Or Hayden, like, you know, Dable and Brasillo probably make a lot of those decisions about who's going to be out there on each specific day in terms of who's going to get the reps that day. And maybe he didn't know that Slater was, you know, primed to get the reps with the ones. It kind of made for a pretty confusing sequence, but I'm going to, again, I think we have, because it doesn't make any sense, we have to choose how we interpret this. And and I'm going to interpret it as he didn't mind saying that they're probably going to be our starters, you know, this season. And I'm going to choose to believe that Volson, the way he answered the question, has the advantage long term, even though we saw Slater out there today. I don't think there's a whole point in reading too much into who was out there today.
I mean, maybe. Today's the only data point we have right now. We know coaches lie in press conferences or withhold information or don't tell us everything. I would rather go off of what we've seen on the field versus Sala just giving up. Mm-hmm. Yep. As an answer
but
to something.
But he's also told us, you know, twos are going to get chances with the ones.
On the first day of camp? I don't know.
I like that we don't agree on this because I think he took the question as, like, who do you feel are your starters? And he said Volson and Schlotman.
I think it's a big deal that Jackson Slater got first crack at right guard. I also think it's a big deal as we transition and move on a little bit to say that the first play of training camp for the offense today was a Daniel Bellinger false start. The second play of training camp was a Jackson Slater false start. What? Give me a break. Yeah. I thought we were over this. Brian Callahan's still coaching this team? What's going on?
Well, that's, I think, a typical, you know, off jitters and the rust on day one. But Daniel Bellinger, who's here to, by the way, to block and do all these good things playing attached to the line of scrimmage, hit, you know, the false start, and then Jackson Slater, which, by the way, again, if Volson's got the advantage, doesn't bode well for Slater that he's false starting on the second play. We're going to go to break because when we come back, we're going to live stream the Cam Ward presser.
That's right. We'll be right back. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks. Because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak. Because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! Welcome back, audio audience. Cam Ward set to come to the podium any minute now. Wandale Robinson just finished speaking. We will live stream what Cam has to say. I, Justin, full disclosure to the audience, you already know this, I may have to hop off at some point during Cam's presser or maybe right afterwards. Justin's going to continue the stream for as long as he feels like he wants to, and then he'll be, you know, doing a little bit of a solo show for a bit, and that's fine because I have, unfortunately, a full-time job that I have to go attend to in about.
And I'm just going
to
hit end stream in the right corner when I'm done and hope that that does it because I don't know what I'm doing. But
you
got to
hit end stream
out.
And then a little box will pop open, and then you have to sort of confirm that you want to end the stream. So make sure you press that second one, or else you're just going to be sitting there staring at our audience.
Well, maybe the Audible Army wants to watch me change in my bedroom. Maybe I'll just let the stream go. We'll see what happens without me knowing. We'll see what happens. We'll have to file complaints with the HR department if I take my shirt off. Cam Ward coming to the podium any moment now. But yeah, quickly, I want to just go back right before, like, Slater false starting on the second snap of the first series, and Daniel Bellinger with the false start on the first one. I mean, I don't think it bodes well for Slater's chances. I think it's one play. I get it. But we're choosing to interpret what Salah said at the pre-practice presser a little differently. I think that was him just kind of confirming that those guys are the ones that have the upper hand, you know, for the starting job going into this. And it doesn't bode well, I think, for a, you know, for someone like Slater, who, again, you say first day. I don't think it matters at all that he got those reps today. I really don't. But I think it's worse for him, you know, that with that opportunity, he tends to mess it up pretty quickly.
Sound off in the comments. Do you think it's notable that Jackson Slater was the first guy out there with the first team at right guard? I do think it's notable. Justin thinks it's not so much notable. It's something that we'll definitely be tracking over the coming days. It's not obviously a determination that we're going to make after one training camp practice where Justin and I have been sitting in our homes hundreds or thousands of miles away from the practice facility. Quick shout out to the Titans beat for being out there. All the media members were using notes from all of them, and we couldn't do the show without them. We couldn't react to these practices without those guys doing the hard work, doing the groundwork. So appreciate everybody on the Titans beat for giving us notes that we can talk about on this show. Eli Cargyle, if we get a Mello strip show, do we all have to send Gary Soto type tips? Well, that kind of turns our show into a bit of an OnlyFans situation, Justin. I don't know how I feel about
listen.
That.
They make a lot of money on that platform. I'm open to streaming MCA on the OF platform.
Eli agrees with me that it is definitely notable that has to have Jackson Slater out there. Still no
yeah,
Cam yet.
Ones. I want the ones. The $1 bill tips is what I want if we hit you with the
right.
with the
so
live
can,
tease show.
Make it rain in your bedroom.
I disagree with both you and Eli, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Just based on what Salah said yesterday about we're going to mix guys in and, you know, don't take too much. You're going to see guys. Like, I think that was them giving the number two guy, like, you know, 48 career starts for Cordell Volson in the NFL. I actually think this was them giving the number two guy an opportunity on day one.
I think that they are going to give number two guys opportunities just fine. But the first day seems a little bit telling. I don't know. I mean, look, we're just going back and forth now at this point, but we've stated our case and time will prove one of us correct. Should we make a bet? Loser has to buy a jersey of either Cordell Volson or Jackson
Jesus.
Slater.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm getting that one off the black market if I've got to do that because not
Chinese
spending.
Chinese shops. All right. We're still waiting for Cam Ward here. It's sort of derailing
our
plan.
I've got some other notes from practice, but I think I'm going to wait to get it. Okay. Never mind.
Hit him, why not?
Well, J.C. Latham still on the PUP, the P-U-P. I'll give it to you both ways. I know you guys have fun with that one. So who's starting at right tackle? It was Austin Deculus was the right tackle. I don't think we should be shocked by that. He's the most experienced reserve tackle on the roster. Everyone else is either a UDFA like a Mill Wagner or a veteran journeyman like Zach Thomas or a sophomore UDFA like Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. So, and by the way, they said Austin Deculus also jumped when Jackson Slater jumped. It was that whole right side who had the false start on the second play of practice. So I've got no faith in Austin Deculus, but he was your first team right tackle today with Latham sidelined. We talked a lot about these O-line. The theme of the show is the O-linemen. Well, who got the second team reps at center? Well, Cordell Volson was at right guard. It was Pat Coogan. Sixth round rookie who worked with Will Levis there with the twos after Cam Ward had Austin Schlotman and Jackson Slater with the one. So interesting, slightly interesting that it was Pat Coogan and not Andre James who they signed recently, you know, to come in and compete for backup reps at center. I don't think there's any competition, right? For, you know, we know Austin Schlotman is this team's starting center, but I did find it mildly interesting that Pat Coogan was there getting the second team reps. Do you agree or not?
I do agree. I was kind of thinking that these rookie linemen would be sort of more or less redshirted for the year, working third team and active on game day type stuff. But we know Andre James was on the street for a reason. He's not the same quite maybe level of player that he was a few years ago when the Titans were, when Titans fans were hoping that they would sign him when they went and signed Lloyd Cushenberry. So I do think that maybe Andre James, maybe Justin, we've been pegging the wrong retirement player. Maybe Andre James is the guy who surprisingly retires during training camp.
There's got to be one, and maybe he just emerged as a candidate after Pat Coogan works ahead of him. The only other note I have, so I'll get into it now before Cam Ward speaks, I believe, was Will Levis, eventful as always. He was picked off by backup safety Sanusi Kane. In fact, A to Z Sports noting, Sanusi Kane is his kryptonite. He got him a bunch of times during the offseason, OTAs and minicamp, and he gets him again here on day one of training camp. Sure feels like Sanusi Kane is in the mix for that number four safety role, and it's a good start to his camp for him to get a pick. Well, how did Will Levis respond? A couple plays later, he might have thrown a TD to Xavier Restrepo. It was called a TD by some, others noting that Restrepo was kind of pushed out of bounds at the goal line. Easton Freeze noting that the refs looked at each other and were like, I guess it's a touchdown. It's day one of camp. Who cares? And they put their hands up to signal a touchdown. So Will Levis with a potential touchdown to Xavier Restrepo that would have gotten probably reviewed if this was the regular season. And let's be honest, the Titans' luck, they would have overturned it and said it was not a touchdown. He was down at the one, and the Titans would have fumbled the snap on the next play, probably. but yeah, that was the Will Levis report from camp today. One pick to Sanusi Kane and a potential touchdown to Xavier Restrepo.
And as we mentioned before, Mitch Trubisky not practicing. So
right.
Levis operating as the QB2 there. We got a donation. Again, still not sure exactly how these work, but
we keeping a bulk right now.
I'll hit the drop.
I was going to say, I think you got to hit the drop because I am Peter Parker. Well, that's pretty cool if this is actually Peter Parker. sends us 750 joules, says, let him cook. I tried looking this up. I still don't know what joules are. It sounds like YouTube might convert it to an actual money donation. Like every 1,000 joules is like a dollar or something like that. Based on that. So nonetheless, and I guess each user only has a certain amount of joules, so we appreciate that.
Yeah. Justin, real quick, I'm going to teach you how to work the stream here for when Cam starts.
That should be fun.
Well, all you got to do is at the bottom, or actually on the left side of the screen, you see the bars there? If you click, for some reason, this is an old label, but the real odds bar. Click show on stage. Just hit that real quick. Okay. So that's how you do it. I've got the sound playing now. I had it muted before because you can't unmute my computer. And then when you're done with it, if you just click back on MCA Toolbox, it'll take it back to you by yourself because what I'm going to do is have myself removed. So I got to run. I appreciate everyone tuning in. We both appreciate everyone tuning in. Justin, we could throw another audio ad break in right here, right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and then that'll be a good, you know, cadence for us. I'm gonna dip, Justin. Good luck to you. You can see in the bottom, you know, below our faces the presser actually starts. So you can flip it over to the other side, and good luck. And I'll see you tomorrow.
Enjoy. Definitely a bit of a chaotic first day of training camp for the New City Audible podcast, just like the Titans were practicing, I guess, as well as we get back into the swing of things of training. Hit the thing.
I'll just do this real quick before I go. Bruce Baker with an actual monetary donation, super chat, Canadian, $5. Do you think we could get a bag of deflated footballs for Levis? And if so, perhaps by the end of the week. I think they are look to trade Levis. I don't know if there'll be a suitor. I think it's going to take a training camp injury to either a starter or a backup to bring Levis in. Although the Falcons might be able to use him if Tua doesn't get back on the field soon. I just don't know that he's got any trade value really right now. He's going to have to go like increase his stock to make him worth trading. But I still don't think he'll be on the roster come September.
Yeah, I think it's a little early to assume that Will Levis can get traded by the end of the week. I mean, no one's even got pads on. I mean, a couple teams, I guess, started early, but we got like five teams with pads on right now. Everyone's in the very early stages of evaluation. I think a Levis trade maybe becomes more realistic as camp goes on or if he plays well in the preseason. But by the end of the week, I think is probably, you know, very premature.
Yeah. All right, Justin, I'm turning this stream over to you. Look at that. You're full screen. I'm still here. I am going to not be here in about 10 seconds. So, all right. Good luck. You know what to do, right? You hit the real odds button to get Cam up. You hit $2 to get yourself back and end stream followed by the confirm end stream and you're good to go.
We're all good. Live show here doing by myself. I am taking questions if you'd like as we wait for Cam Ward's taking forever to get up to the podium, by the way. I bet he's doing something after practice, whether he's getting some extra work in or what. We know he's more of a football guy all the time and has very little interest in doing these things. For those of you who join the stream late, because the number is quite a bit higher now than it was earlier, Cam Ward was 8 of 15 today at the Titans' first training camp practice. Those numbers provided by Nick Suss. He had 2 touchdowns on the day and no turnovers, which is great to see. No interceptions, no fumbles. Throwing touchdowns in the red zone to Elik Iomanner and Carnell Tate. Nick Suss noting that Cam Ward was 3 of 8 in the red zone period. That's where both of the touchdowns came, the one to Tate and the one to Iomanner. 2 of those incompletions, by the way, on the 3 of 8 were throwaways. So he was really 3 of 6 in the red zone, which you love to see. And the Tate touchdown, by the way, was described as a Carnell Tate catch in traffic, a hands catch by Carnell Tate. So by all accounts, a good first day for Cam Ward at Wednesday's practice and a good first training camp practice in the career of Carnell Tate. It was his first one ever. So you love to see that as well as we continue waiting here. Some other news and notes. Were there any notable plays from the defensive players? Eli Cargill asks. It didn't really sound like it. You know, Sanusi Kane had the one interception that was thrown on camp today. That was thrown by Will Levis. And Sanusi Kane's like your 4th or 5th string safety. The pads aren't on yet, right? So it really sounds to me as if, they're not doing a whole lot of real pass rushing stuff. Jeffrey Simmons said, Eli, when he spoke at the podium, that they're protecting each other right now. You know, DBs are not really, trying to play the ball in any physical manner. You got to assume that that's the same for the O-line versus the D-line. So, no would-be sacks, nothing of that nature to report. But it certainly sounds like, the guys that you're excited about, Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers have shown up in really good shape. So I wouldn't, worry too much about there not being notable plays at day one by the defenders. Yes, Rice School, about 61% completion percentage for Cam Ward on day one. If you remove the 2 throwaways that both occurred in the red zone. Max here asking, is the Cam presser not happening? We're wondering, just like you are, Max. He seems to be really late to the podium, but the Titans appear to still have the live stream up. So as we're waiting for Cam Ward to step up to the podium, he's clearly doing something that's making him incredibly late to the podium here. I'm excited for the pads to be on and see how the D-line cooks together. Agreed, Atlas with 3 legs. I think, once those pads come on next week, I'm going to talk about that after Cam's presser, by the way. Guys like Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers, that's when we really start paying attention to what they're doing. Garrett Holcomb, I just realized there was a live. Yeah, you're about 25 minutes late to the live, Garrett, but don't worry. I'll be going for quite a while longer. Graver just hopped off to go record Heed the Call. But we are here doing a solo mellow live show. Bengals Edge had a gruesome knee. I didn't hear about this, so I don't know who that. Oh, we've got Cam Ward, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to the Cam Ward presser.
To the running backs, I was back down here, then the tight ends. But it was good for us, good camaraderie, had some bonding, then, got some good quality working.
Cam, how is it being back out there with everyone after being off for the last 4 days?
Well, it's fun. It's finally for real now. Instead of, you know, just being OTAs and working on specific stuff, we finally get to, you know, have a real meaning behind it. Got a preseason game coming up soon, then a real game after that. But it's a side note to have everybody back out here healthy, then run around full speed.
How much different things feel for you now compared to this time last year?
Way different. From system to players to, you know, just my knowledge of, you know, being an NFL quarterback, has been way better. I think the staff that we hired, both sides of the ball, has really been helpful for, you know, the players, what we want to do, and, you know, making it easy for us so we go play fast. So, you know, it's going to be exciting time, exciting tramp, you know, in a good season.
What do you think will help you most in year two play better against pressure?
I just think having a clock in my head each and every play, you know, helping out the O-line, getting the ball out, you know, and thinking the same as Dable. I think that's going to help me out, you know, the most year two. Then, you know, when it's time for Tamika, for me to make an exciting play, you know, that's where, you know, I come in to do my job.
Sal talked about 2 minute red zone and third down being the most important part of quarterback, and you said third down as well. Can you just kind of get into, like, why that specifically is so much more elevated above the other parts of what you guys were doing?
Because those are downs that, when you look at on film, those are downs that can win or lose you a game. Those are downs that quarterbacks get paid the most to be successful at a high rate on those downs. And then that's where, you know, it has to click for you, you know. If it doesn't click on first down, you got to make sure you click on second and third down. So, you know, just got to have an awareness of situational football and knowing, you know, which two-minute drill it is, whether it's in the half or in the game, what you need, then, you know, executing with your teammates at a high level.
You had mentioned working with Dable, that's something that you've really come to realize, the third down importance. What was different from before to now? Just like what led to that revelation?
I just think the system. It's a young guy system. He gives us a lot of freelance, not only myself, but the receivers, to do as we feel space-wise. And I just think, you know, he's putting us, you know, just schematically in the best situations, looking at things the defense does to get leverage for the wideouts, to, you know, make sure I don't have to move as much in the pocket to help the old line out by getting the ball out faster. So I just think he's just making me a better football player each and every day.
The two false starts on the first two plays of the first series, did you have to say anything to your guys to kind of kick them into gear, or what was kind of your response to that?
Of course. I mean, it's just a operation standpoint that we can't have. It was a sin by me by not, you know, communicating everything to them. So that's something that, you know, I got to get better at. Wasn't on O-line, wasn't on receiver. So, you know, I just got to be better relaying everything. But, you know, I can't start practice like that. You know, we can't do that as a group, but, you know, we learn from it. And we're having better plays down the end of stretch, but we got to start better.
Cam, you said in the Netflix documentary you thought your rookie season was all right. The team went 3-14. You got the lowest QBR amongst qualified passers in the NFL. So what exactly were you using to define all right?
Good with bad. Each game we got good plays. Each game we got bad plays, but it's limited. Over the course of the year, I got better at things that I want to get better in. But I really think that whole year, you know, helped shape me and a lot of other rookies to that football is the same. It got to be about the players. It got to be what the players, you know, are comfortable with, what the players are good at doing, what got us to this point. And I think that's been the best part of being a part of that, is I was able to learn throughout the process, even now.
You mentioned somewhat
freedom the routes the receivers have. You mentioned the freedom that those receivers have. How much more does that emphasize you guys getting on the same page? What are you able to do to make sure, like, when they have that freedom, you know what they're
going
to do?
The biggest thing is watching film. I've been watching film with me, seeing my point of view, what I see from safeties, corners, but the biggest thing is angles and how they have to, you know, have good body demeanor across the middle of the field, wrapping backers, sitting versus zone spots versus the nickels, whoever it is in the area. And they're all doing a great job, honestly. We had no miscommunications this whole time with that. So I think the more we continue to hold each other accountable, watch more film together, I think it's going to end up paying dividends.
How much of that do you feel has sprouted from the time you guys spent together in Miami?
A lot, but it's something that we started, you know, when we were here at OTAs. And then working out with them in the offseason, it was really of time. And then, you know, all of our space plays, imagining, you know, people in these areas. Because a lot of times, you know, you have to imagine it because, you know, as the season gets shorter.
Interesting stuff from Cam Ward so far, taking responsibility for the false start, saying it's on him, even when guys like Jackson Slater and Daniel Bellinger jump too early. We obviously know that that's not the case, but Cam Ward doing his best there. And I thought some interesting things in the early portion of that presser, talking about the emphasis on third down and how important it is for him to, you know, kind of stay on the field, work red zone, work third down. Obviously, he was quite good on in the red zone today, where he threw two touchdown passes to Carnell Tate and Alec Iomanner.
Jerseys, all that. How different are you today than you were this day last year?
Well, I'm the same person. I think I've become a better football player. I think that's been the biggest thing that I've changed. But I'm the same person. Keep the same routine. A lot of stuff has helped me get to this point. So, you know, there's no big things to change. But I say the biggest thing, you know, that changed is just, you know, the approach that I see the game. And that's something that, you know, Dave and Shay's emphasized me, is seeing the game, you know, not only through my eyes, but through the O-line and the receiver's eyes as well.
So how did you become a better football player?
I'll say the biggest thing is situational. And that's watching with Dable, and it's not the play or the concept, it's the why he's calling the play, the time on the clock, how the game is going, whether, you know, we're starting off good, whether everything's open, or if we're starting out bad, or I need to slowly get us into this game, whether it's quick game, running the ball, everything. So I just think situationally and, you know, awareness of everyone else's position, you know, has been my biggest change.
So as one of the leaders now, how do you set the tone? How do you be intentional about doing that?
Make plays on the football field. That's what our job is to do, is make plays. Gain respect to your teammates every time you step on the field. And really just be here and continue to be the same person each every day.
Is there a moment or is there a type of play that kind of helps you key in on understanding that you are more aware or that you're seeing the game differently? Can you just kind of like give an example of how you are seeing it differently?
So it's every day. I'll say the biggest thing is the red zone situation for today. Starting off in the high red on the 20, can force the corner if I really want to, but I can make it second and three, which I did today to Gunner. And it's a lot of and I think I got better at it last year, is knowing who I'm playing up front, whether we got an O-lineman down or not. Whether they run the type of game. So helping them out and not really thinking more of, you know, try to put the ball where I know it's supposed to go versus certain coverage, really just to react in the space and putting the ball, you know, at 2 yards and let them do the rest.
How'd you judge that red zone period? A couple touchdowns, a couple throwaways overall?
Not our best. We're trying to score every play. We had some good plays with it, all three groups. But, you know, our mindset is to score the ball every chance we get. You know, we didn't do that enough. We scored enough points to possibly win a game, you know, in that situation. But, you know, we for sure got to be better. I still have to be more on time on quicker routes in certain situations. But, you know, it's the first day of camp. You know, I'm looking to be better tomorrow.
Two pressure plays, no real chance to make anything out of?
No, I think that's a real valuable play for us to work on our scramble drill. Seeing where I want them to go, the angle I want them to do. And then at the end of the day, just me being smart and just out there throwing it away.
What's the vibe like in the quarterback room? You got four different guys at very different places in their careers all here.
That was real high. We all competed each and every day, but we all, you know, have one common goal. And I think the best thing about that quarterback room that we have here is that, you know, everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to be starters, so we're constantly pushing each and every one of us. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all supportive. And, you know, as we get to, you know, the preseason games, we're all going to play, get into the joint practice, we all get reps, and, you know, we just got to continue to, you know, take little things from each other, because each and every one of us get different reps and different coverages to the reps. So it's learning off each other, learning where the ball should go versus where it could actually go, and then just, you know, being good teammates to each other.
In the Netflix documentary, you didn't walk back the We Ask.
Love that Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
Love that.
You didn't walk back the We Ask comments from week four saying, hey, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I said what I said. And then you said that you played all right. So is that kind of the idea that the team was ass and that you were all right? Or were you part of the way the team was ass?
What's your name?
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. Nah, it's like I said, I'm upfront. They know who I am. The building knows how I am. You guys puff. But it's a point to where like we're so much better than what we're putting on the field. And I was specifically talking offensively. Early in the year, the defense did everything they could to keep us in games last year. We didn't do our job offensively. So, you know, I think after that was made, you know, it really made us lock in even more. Because at the end of the day, it's a production-based business. You know, if we're not producing, next man up. And, you know, I think we all handle it the right way. They know I say it again if I had to. We just gonna keep one step forward, looking ready this year.
Cam, with the heightened importance on third down, what does those situations require from you to be successful as opposed to like first or second down? Like, why is, like from a mentality standpoint or how you're operating, how is it different for you on third down?
Because third down is potentially the last play. Last play to drive could be the last play of the game, depending where we at in the game. And that's where I have to be on high alert for our, whether it's cover zero answers, blitz packages, flipping the protection, getting checking plays if I really want to, if it's something I see on film, certain situations. And then scramble drill is something that's real live on third down. So it's where I have to be on point, O-line, and the receivers, because third down can bail us out a first and second down. The goal is to continuously keep the chains moving. We want to stay in the green. It's playing from, you know, first and 10 to second and four and third and one. Those where we want to stay as an offense. And I think the more we do that, you know, we can put ourselves in less third and longs like we did last year, and just have a productive year.
Y'all have mentioned you guys did some off the field things in Miami to get that chemistry together. What were some of the things you did? Is that something that you put together, like that itinerary, and how can you benefit on the field from those off the field moments?
Chilling, being in Miami, the best thing is getting on the boat. I'm a big water guy. I love looking at water. I ain't getting in the water. But I like looking at it, seeing the blue water, just feeling the breeze. Because honestly, you just get offshore, get away from everything. And then just hanging around the house, cooking, Belly cooked for us. And really, Belly, yeah, he cooked for us. Really just spending time with each other outside of football. But we're going to be with each other from now to February. And so, you know, our job is to form that bond, you know, however we want to do it. But with us, like, it's really no itinerary. Like, we come here on this day, I'm telling you what we got in the morning, the rest of the day, we're doing whatever somebody want to do. We kicking it. We make last-minute plans because that's how we live our life, day by day. We got a schedule for football, but other than that, I mean, all of us, we just go home and chill. So, you know, when we get a chance to get away from it, whatever pop up on somebody's head, we all doing it together.
This time last year, you talked about the importance of time with the coach, then you didn't get it during the season. How do you kind of look back on that? Do you feel like that set you back any in your development that you've had? You've had a lot of different voices in a short time already.
But I had a lot of good voices as well. Every coach that I've had has been in successful places. Even they're not here no more, they're still in successful places. They're still part of the NFL. But I think the biggest thing that I've always had my whole career was, you know, back and forth with the play caller, back and forth with the OC or the quarterback coach, which I have now. That's the big thing for a quarterback is, you know, if the system's not fit for the quarterback's not going to be able to show everything he can do. And that's something that, you know, that's the trust that the play caller has to have with the quarterback. And that's something that we got to build even off the field as well. But Coach Dave, Shay, even Kate in there, they've been real good. They're understanding what I see it on the field, what Hendon will, what Mitch sees on the field. And they all put us in the best situations, whoever on the field, to you know, have us in the right mindset, confident-wise, to get us in the play calls that we like.
Got Daryl, one last one.
Yeah, one Daryl was complimentary of you. Also mentioned how you felt your chemistry between you two has grown, obviously, throughout the offseason. Where would you describe your chemistry with one Daryl up until this point, even though it's still early enough?
That's my guy. Ever since the first day when he came in, he signed, first thing, we did met him, whatever. He's first one in my house. He really got a key to my house. He can walk in at any time. So I mean, him being there and him showing the attitude that he brings each and every day, that's all I can ask for a slot receiver. He's the same person who comes in the building. He works hard. He's always when I call a meeting, when I call, you know, when we throwing, you know, he always there. He don't make excuses. He runs routes and they know I run him to the dirt too. And so, you know, he run the routes. He wants the ball for a reason, because they know if you're not doing what I want, I'm not going to throw you the ball. And they all see that. He sees that the most, especially him being in the league. And he's going to have a real special year.
There you have it, folks. A pretty long Cam Ward presser there. One of the longer ones that I remember. And some good questions, maybe some not so good questions, as some of you laugh at Jared Stillman's "we ask" question during that Cam Ward presser. But the actual important takeaways, a lot of emphasis on third down, red zone. We kind of heard him bring that up time and time again, working third down, working red zone, how important that is. Reminder, he had 2 touchdowns in the red zone today, Wednesday, the first official training camp practice for the Titans in 2026. Cam Ward, 3 of 8 in the red zone, hitting Elik Iomanner and rookie Carnell Tate for his touchdowns. Good, honest stuff from Cam. It's the little things that I tend to pick up on when he's speaking. When they asked him about taking the receivers to Miami and having the bonding experience, did you notice how he said, "We're going to be together from now until February"? You know, he's ensures to say February, essentially claiming, well, this, you know, he knows Super Bowl's in February, and saying, hey, he doesn't say we're going to be together now to January. We're going to be together now to December. He says, no, we're going to be together from now to February. So Cam Ward always leading by example, trying to set the culture, trying to make sure everyone has the same expectations that he has. I've started a couple questions that I want to answer. So if you guys want to get your questions in, please start submitting them now. I'm not ending the stream yet, but I want to answer a bunch of questions. I've got some notes from Robert Salah's pre-practice presser that I wanted to get through that we haven't. So if you guys don't mind, I thought Robert Salah said some really interesting things, and I want to get to them now. He called today's practice, essentially, or these first few days of practice, and Graver alluded to it earlier. If you're just joining the stream, by the way, and wondering where's Graver, he was here for the beginning of this stream, but they've got to go heed the call. So he jumped off a little prematurely. So I'm doing the stream now, for now. So I'm doing the solo show to end here. But Robert Salah called today's practice essentially like OTA phase 3 rules, meaning no contact, no physicality, no pads. He noted that each day, you know, they'll increase the volume and whatnot, and that the pads are coming on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get the pads on for Monday. So I thought that was a really big update. He also said, which I'm going to kind of point out, that I think really goes hand in hand, that the defensive install is only going to take them about 4 days. The entire defense should be installed by the conclusion of the fourth training camp practice. Now, if you do the math in your head, they've got a couple more practices this week. So by Monday, the defense will be fully installed. Why do I say by Monday? Because that's when the pads are coming on for the first time. That's intentional on Robert Salah's part, in my opinion. Monday's practice, the defense has been fully installed last week. We've got the pads on. No excuses. Let's practice fast. Let's be physical. Defense, offense, we can really get after it. So I thought that was really, really interesting. As Hershey notes, I can't hit the thing for Gary Soto because Graver's not here. He's the one who's got the soundboard to hit the thing. But Gary Soto, should I just try to do it? We keeping it a buck. That's the thing that you're supposed to hear when Graver hits the thing. Gary Soto, with his very generous $50 donation, goes, what did I miss? Where's Graver? I guess this is money for your upcoming Portugal trip. Thank you so much, Gary Soto, for the incredibly generous donation. Graver, to answer your question, was here for the beginning of this live stream, but he only could do 20 minutes because he had to go record. He'd to call his full-time gig. And I said, we're not ending the stream after 20 minutes. So I decided to keep going with a solo show. We were not able to cover everything for the first 20 minutes that Graver was here. Heck, after we left, we live streamed to Cam Ward presser, And now I'm back answering questions and providing more updates of what happened at training camp that we didn't get to. Gary, if you haven't, I agree with you. MCA is more important, but I guess he doesn't want to lose his full-time job. You know, I'm going to use air quotes. He's got a wife and a house now, so he's got to keep his full-time job. That's why he went to go do that. But if you missed any updates from camp, Gary, Cam Ward was 8 of 15 on the day with 2 touchdowns in the red zone to Alec Iomanner and Carnell Tate. That was probably the most important update from camp today. Thank you so much, as always, Gary, for the very generous donation. I couldn't hit the drop, but I think you'll understand. I did it on the mic. We keeping it a buck right now for Gary Soto and the donation. But getting back to what Robert Saleh said there at the podium. Install the defense 4 days. Pads come on Monday. I think that's really interesting to note. That the pads, once the pads come on, he'll feel that everyone should be up to speed. What did I just walk into? I just said it, so I'll be quick. Gravers was here for the first 20 minutes. Now he's recording Heed the Call. I decided to keep the show going because I love you guys so much. We decided to keep this, do a solo mellow show, if you will. Solo mellow. It's got a bit of a ring to it. I thought the other interesting thing that Robert Saleh said, the comments are great. Mello got angry at Graver and created a hostile takeover of the pod. That is so good, Atlas with three legs. But the other interesting thing that Robert Saleh said was when they asked him about the biggest evaluation point for Cam Ward during joint practices, which the first one is coming up real soon, he said decision-making and understanding the defense. You know, I love that they've got some clear guidelines for Cam Ward and some clear goals, you know, for those joint practices. As they get into those, and you look at it today, you talk about decision-making, he was 8 of 15. You read different reports, you know, Easton Freeze, A to Z Sports. They really, you know, wasn't a whole lot of downfield stuff today. And if you heard Robert Saleh yesterday, they're going to kind of expand on this as they go, right? So it was a bit of an easy day, quote unquote, in terms of what they were working in the passing game. And I think that was reflected in the numbers. You know, Cam Ward completing about 61% of his passes when you factor that he threw the ball away twice in the red zone. He had 2 touchdowns in the red zone. He didn't have any turnovers. So bit of an easy day, I think, for the offense. And they'll increase the level of difficulty as these camp practices go on. And I think it's all by design. I don't think Robert Saleh told you yesterday that it's all by design. And when they get to the point of joint practices, you know, they're going to have some clear things they want to evaluate from Cam Ward. And that is decision-making, you know, taking care of the football, understanding not only what his own defense is doing, but being able to quickly pick up on what the other defense is doing, you know, in joint practice, and reacting accordingly. Now, I started some questions I wanted to answer. Not a lot of them, I'm going to be blunt with you, but if you have some more questions, please get them in now as we cross the 50-minute mark on the pod. Travis asked, did you used to do the Locked On podcast? I did not, Travis, no. Tyler Rowland currently does the Locked On podcast. He's been doing that for, what, 2 or 3 years? Before Tyler, I believe it was Jimmy Morris and Terry Lambert, if you're a Music City Miracles alum and MCM guy, Jimmy Morris has been the editor-in-chief there at MCM for, about 15 years now. And I believe Terry does a lot of Tennessee Volunteers coverage nowadays. So they were the prior Locked On hosts before Tyler Rowland. It was never me. Scott E. Bursell, 3269, I might have butchered that, asks, is Carmona in the competition for right guard, or is he just a backup left guard for Skoronski? I would say maybe he's the number 2 on the left side and the number 3 on the right side. No, it is very much between Cordell Volson and Jackson Slater for the right guard job. Fernando Carmona is not factoring into that at all. Roster Grids asks, what do we got to do to get the Justin's media passes? Well, I guess you got to get us to move to Nashville, you know, because that's the sole reason Graver and I are at practice and don't have passes. I will say I personally have a very good relationship with Titans PR. Last year, I did a bunch of stories. I got exclusive one-on-one interviews with Titans players for Titan-sized. I believe I did something on Alec Iomanner. I did something with David Martin Robinson. I mean, I had a big Cam Ward story that went out the day after they drafted him. Who else? I did Chido Awuzie when he was there. So, spoiler alert, I'm submitting my request to do some one-on-one interviews with Titans players tomorrow. I'm going to submit that request. So I imagine I'll get a bunch of really good exclusives with some guys, some of the, mid-tier position battle guys that I find very intriguing. I always love doing the one-on-ones with those guys. I think they tend to make for more interesting conversations. So I should have a bunch of those coming your way on Titan-sized over these next couple of weeks, and we'll talk about them on here, of course, when I publish them. So we're not out there at media, but I am, approved to do some of those one-on-one conversations, and I look forward to talking to some Titans players over these next couple of weeks. I'm trying to look at the comments here to see if I missed anything that I do want to get to. Okay, interesting. You don't get many complaints on the mic, so noted, Thesaurus, that you haven't been, appreciating the audio on this one. Hershey Faeva, are we underestimating Calvin Ridley this year? We had high hopes. I don't know, Hershey, because I feel like it's pretty clear that every time... Sorry, it's pretty clear that, Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson are going to be the number one and two receivers this year. I'd be shocked if that's not the case. So if Calvin Ridley's wide receiver three, I guess you got to ask yourself, how hopeful are you? How impactful and effective is this passing attack going to be for Calvin Ridley to have a big impact? And are we even certain that he is wide receiver three? How much do Alec Iomanner and Chimere Dike, get to push him for that wide receiver three role? So I'm pumping the brakes on any Calvin Ridley hype right now. If you're also late to the stream or haven't been on Twitter, he missed practice today, or the majority of practice, with a stomach bug, but they expect him back on the field tomorrow. Last call for questions. We've almost an hour in here on the show today, so I'm open to taking a few more questions, but you guys have them. I've pretty uneventful day, to be honest with you, at Titans training camp. I delivered, if you've been here the whole time, every single update I wanted to give you guys from practice today. I can run through rapid fire if you want. It's Austin Schlotman and Cardell Volson got first team reps today at center and right guard. Austin Deculus was the starting right tackle with JC Latham still on the PUP. One of the first plays on the first series for the offense was a Daniel Bellinger false start, and then Jackson Slater false started on the next play. Austin Deculus also jumped when Slater did, but they called it on Slater, not Deculus. Cam Ward was 8-15, two touchdowns in the red zone to Alec Iomanner and Carnell Tate. Will Levis threw two touchdowns, one to Xavier Restrepo, one to Joel Wilson, and he was picked off by Sanusi Kane. Pat Coogan and Cordell Volson were the second team center and right guard, if that interests you. Garrett Holcomb asks, any update on how Anthony Hill looked? No, in all truth, we did not get a single update from how Anthony Hill looked. Again, day one of training camp, he's a rookie, the pads aren't on yet. Linebacker is one of those positions too that tends to take a while to get going at practice, so I wouldn't worry too much about the lack of Anthony Hill update on day one. Got a good question here. Oh boy, I don't know what, from Jean X Score. I definitely butchered that. I'm not sure what it's supposed to say. But who do we think will be the starting safeties? I don't think there's any competition for who the starting safeties are. Amani Hooker came off the PUP list yesterday. He's the most tenured Titan on the team, I believe, tied with Jeffrey Simmons. They're both from that 2019 draft class. He is their best safety. So, Amani Hooker and Kevin Winston Jr. is the other starting safety. The sophomore who they drafted with a third-round pick last year, who played well when he was on the field. Unfortunately, started the year hurt, ended the year hurt. But no doubt about it, Amani Hooker and Kevin Winston Jr. are your starting safeties. And your number three safety is Tony Adams, who they signed in free agency. Tony Adams previously played for Robert Saleh with the New York Jets, but he's more of a number three, more of a backup. So there is no competition in my mind at safety whatsoever. StevieB.O.E.Gordy asks, can we move JC to guard and get Tyler Decker to play right tackle? Look, sounds fun in theory. You're not moving anyone, once training camp starts. JC Latham is the right tackle. There's no doubt about it. Though I will say, signing a better swing tackle is something I hope they do. I imagine Taylor Decker, who is available, is probably more interested in getting a starting role, but he is out there. Jack Conklin, former Titans first round pick, is another guy who's out there. Interesting scenario, Stevie. Brian HD asks, does Pat Coogan have a chance to become the starter this year, or is he a long-term project? I think he's more of a project. They gave Slotman a two-year contract in free agency. They seem very comfortable with him based on the fact that he has played for offensive coordinator Brian Daboll and position coach Carmen Brasillo in the past. I think he's got a very long leash. So barring injury or barring just a disastrous performance from Schlotman, which I don't foresee, he'll be the starter all year long. But I do think Pat Coogan, much like Jackson Slater this year, as a sophomore next offseason, maybe it's a legitimate competition between Coogan and Schlotman, but I don't think that is the case this year. Again, with the we aren't really worried, one of these days we're going to have a real conversation. I don't get where this comes from, endless possibilities, because Cam Ward, by all accounts, had a pretty good day at practice today. He threw two touchdowns. He didn't turn over the football. He was effective in the red zone. So I don't know where this comes from, but it was, again, by all accounts, a pretty good first day for Cam Ward at training camp. Easton had a stat about starting offensive tackle duo sacks allowed, and Latham and Moore were slightly above average. They were pretty fine last year. I agree. When they played, I don't think JC Latham and Dan Moore were bad. I think they were at least league average to above average, I would say. So I'm with you. I don't think they were we're shooting the offense in the foot type of problem. They did not do that. I'm with you on that. Aside from the O-line, what position group are you most concerned with? Wow, really interesting question. In fact, I might have to think about it, but I guess there's some unknown at cornerback, but I do have some confidence in Elante Taylor and Cordell Flott. I'd probably go with running back, to be honest with you. I think you kind of know what you're getting out of Tony Pollard, but I would say he's a rather average running back. I don't think they're going to have a dynamic running game because they don't have a dynamic running back. So, I think they're quarterback, receiver, tight end. I feel good about the D-line. The edge group doesn't have a high-end guy, but I feel all right about the rotation there. I think I'd go running back to answer this question, in all honesty. Other than the catch against Marcus Harris, anything we should know about Tate's day? It sounded like Tate had a good, not great day. So probably not a whole lot there for that. But good question here from Hershey as well. How would you split our running back carries? They're firing in right now, the questions I'm trying to keep up. I don't trust Tajay Spears to fully stay healthy, to be blunt. So, if they carry the ball 25 times a game, 18 for Pollard, 7 for Spears is probably how I'd split carry, like 70-30 for Tony Pollard. Now, I say 7 carries for Spears, but I'd also get him a couple touches in the passing game because he's dynamic in space. So, 10 to 12 overall touches for Spears per game, 18 to 20 for Tony Pollard. That's what I'd expect right now. I think, this is fair. I think tight end, we're crowning helm. I think it's fair to wonder about this position, but I just feel comfortable with the 50-50 split between helm and Bellinger. Knowing that they're deep at receiver, they're not going to ask them to do the heavy lifting as pass catchers. I think this is an acceptable group with Bellinger being a good blocker and helm hopefully showing some growth in year two. Garrett Holcomb, I feel like Latham's getting another year at his more natural position and hopefully healthy. I'm with you. There's no smoke at all to moving him to guard. let him play right tackle for a second straight year. This is really up to him, you know, to kind of run with the opportunity. But I'm with you. I don't see any possibility right now of moving J.C. Latham to guard. Do you think Singleton will get much playing time during the regular season? I don't, in all honesty. I think he's clearly behind Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears in the pecking order and the rotation. And it would probably take an injury to even give him a chance to be the number two back. But even then, you know, maybe they would trust a Julius Chestnut or a Michael Carter. We'll see. I think that's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We've been going for an hour and 4 minutes, and Graver left after the 20-minute mark. We live streamed the Cam Ward presser, so that was a lot of fun. If you guys have any last-second questions, I'll get them in. But we're pretty much winding down here. Yes, Rice School, I hope Spears stays healthy. I'm with you. You know, I think they need Spears out there to add some playmaking ability to the running back room. Thesaurus, I think we're all reliant on the tight end play the least on offense, but they're the weakest position group to me on paper. I'm all right agreeing with that, you know, because that's why I went with running back ahead of tight end, because I, you know, obviously they're asking a lot more from the backs, because they, you know, they're pretty deep at receiver compared to tight end. So we shall see. Obrigado, Hershey. Thank you. Obrigado to you, Hershey. Thank you for sticking along the entire time. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with another training camp report. Titans will practice once again. I'll have to get with Graver and figure out if we're going live or if we're doing a edited show. But rest a hold. You could rest assured, I mean, we will be back with another episode of MCA tomorrow, with live instant updates of what transpired at Titans training camp, how Cam Ward practices tomorrow, what does the first team offensive line look like? Is it Jackson Slater for a second day in a row, or does Cordell Volson work with the ones? We will be here having everything covered. Wait till this stream ends, please. Drop a comment below. That helps us get into the algorithm for those who missed the live show. Drop a comment. Share it with a friend. Come back tomorrow. Subscribe to the channel, by the way. We are closing in on 6,800 subs. The race is on to 7,000. We should get there during training camp. Appreciate the Audible Army. Remember to drop a comment. Wait a few seconds once the stream ends, and then drop a comment. That helps us tremendously. Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.